Welcome to this journalism.co.uk podcast. This week, it's a podcast about podcasting. Podcasts are 10 years old this year. It was 2004 when journalist Ben Hammersley is credited with coming up with the term. Since then, it's proved itself to be a thriving medium and a hotbed of innovation. Podcasting is used by everyone from big news organisations to individual journalists. Anyone who's passionate about their chosen subject, whether that's a football team or your local neighbourhood. Who's doing well? What can we learn from them? How do you start out? And what do you need to be thinking about if you want to be a successful podcaster? Lots of questions. Let's get some answers. Helen and Ollie,
answer me this. Here at Answer Me This, we are, of course, the commuter's friend.
Answer Me This is a Sony Radio Award-winning podcast launched by Ollie Mann and Helen Zaltzman in January 2007. It's come a long way since the first episode.
I'm Helen Zaltzman and I'm a podcaster. It was excruciatingly painful. It was before I knew how to edit, in fact, because I'd never edited before we started making Answer Me This. The pauses are so long and it's so awkward, but it's good to see that we were at least improving. I think it's quite humanising to have a bit of rubbish in your back catalogue just to remind yourself that you have actually got better. I think what kept us going through the first year, where we didn't really know what we were doing and it was still quite an obscure medium, was just the fact that every week still the audience was getting a little bit bigger. Then it's just kept growing ever since. People have been writing a lot of articles recently saying, oh, podcasting's back again. I don't think it ever went away. And in fact, the time when they were saying, oh, it was in a bit of a lull and people thought it was dead, we saw a big increase in our audience because that was also the time when a lot more people had smartphones and tablets, and an older audience found it easier to get podcasts, even if they weren't that tech savvy, because it's a lot simpler now. So those articles, I think it's just that the heat has returned to podcasting, but it's been steadily expanding all the time that we've been doing it. But I think this is the best time there's ever been to be a podcaster. It's a really great medium, I think. It's so democratic. It's very cheap to make. So much cheaper than radio and much cheaper than TV. The possibilities of it are very exciting, and I love the fact that there's room for all the podcasts to exist. It's not like on a radio schedule where if one show is on there, it means other shows aren't. The trouble is that because there are so many, if you're starting out now, it's just a lot harder to become visible. And it felt like it was hard for us in 2007 because there were a lot of BBC and Channel 4 podcasts made by well-known people that we just didn't have a chance against. Now, I don't know how I would start it if I began now.
Helen says it's helped both of them further their careers, picking up work elsewhere.
At the beginning, we thought, oh, let's do the podcast so that we can get radio work. It took a lot longer to get radio work, but the podcast now, for me, it's my main thing. I'm really excited that now it's possible to be a podcaster for a living. I can just make a show by myself right now if I want to and have complete control over it. And that's an incredible feeling. There's no one between you and the audience either. There are no filters, and I really like that as well.
So how does it make money?
The main ways we make money are we sell our old episodes. There are always at least 100 available for free, but at the moment the first 170 are available for 79 pence each, because we thought that's the price of a song on iTunes. That's not an unreasonable price to pay for a half hour track. And we did that initially because we got a big bill for our bandwidth and we just didn't have any money to pay it. And then we've also got sponsorship. We've been sponsored by Squarespace, like any podcast that has sponsorship is sponsored by Squarespace, for the past year. And that's made a tremendous difference to our income.
One piece of advice Helen has for podcasters is to find a rhythm and stick to it.
For the first few years of us doing the podcast, it felt like we were doing it in a vacuum. I didn't know anybody else who was doing what we were doing. And the people I know who were doing it were radio producers, so they already knew how to make audio shows and they didn't really have the risk because they had radio jobs already. So they weren't coming from nothing like us. But the people I spoke to, what they had in common was just this incredible work ethic, because you have to be quite motivated to make a podcast. It's not particularly fun as a hobby. If you just left it until you felt like it, you wouldn't make a podcast very often. At the beginning, we really were quite disciplined. We said it's going to come out every Thursday, and that weekly deadline meant that we had to get better and we couldn't just dwell on it. If we'd done a rubbish show, we had to make a new one. And the lessons sunk in a lot quicker because of the repetition. But I think if we hadn't had the schedule, it would have just fallen by the wayside, and we just pushed it very hard at the beginning. And I think that's a good thing to do, because that's when you're all keyed up, because you've got a new project and you're not trodden down by the actual reality of doing that project.
Helen now runs a quarterly meetup where podcasters can get together and share ideas and advice.
I didn't have anyone to ask things when I was starting out. Maybe it could have all been a lot easier than it was. We had to really find things out on our own, and that's not very efficient. And it would be nice just to kind of pay it forward and help other people out. So every quarter, there's a meetup that's free, and people can come with these nerdy technical questions or try and work out a format that they haven't been able to brainstorm yet. What has been really striking is just the incredible diversity of the ideas that people have been bringing. They're not just thinking, oh, I'm going to stick a mic in front of my face and see what comes out and it'll be magic, which is good, because it's never magic when you do that. Quite a rookie error is to think you have to have everything decided before you start the show, and it has to be really sophisticated and really arty and really like all these podcasts that they like that have been going for years. And some of the ideas are just so complicated and so ambitious that they won't be able to execute them without a big production team and a budget and a lot of time. So it's just finding the easiest way in to their idea and just getting them to start doing it, because you can sit around for a long time thinking, oh, I'll do it, I'll do that, I'll wait until the time is right. But probably the best thing is just to be like, you know what, there's no better day than today. I'm just going to start it today.
So what about the technology? What do you need to get started? The answer is not a lot.
We sit in the pub with an iPhone. And that's it.
Welcome to From the Rookery End. My name is John, with me is Jason.
Hello.
And Mike. We are three lifelong Watford fans, season ticket holders in the Rookery End.
John Mooney produces a monthly podcast discussing Watford Football Club, which regularly attracts between 4,000 and 5,000 listeners a month.
We're now in our fifth season of doing these podcasts. Over the years, you know, we've spoken to chief executives and they've been happy with us for that. You know, I suspect it took a while, you know, for us to get access to that sort of level. But they sort of you know, have paid attention and understood. I used to work in radio, but my two co-hosts, Jason and Mike, never did. And listening back to it, you can sort of see how our dynamic as a three has really come on. We sort of our characters come across much stronger now.
Sport lends itself well to podcasting. John explains why.
The strength of podcast is the niche, and you know, not worrying about the numbers that you get necessarily, knowing that you're serving a small group of people really, really well. Sport will lend itself well because everyone has an opinion on sport.
But does it make any money?
We had a conversation at one point saying, could we get a sponsor? But then all of a sudden we become slaves to the numbers. And we sort of get access to things, and we've got to go to events and stuff that other Watford fans don't get. And it's made the massive, massive benefit is I've got to meet people. The dream might be if we could pay for our season tickets, the three of us just like meeting up and meeting some footballers. That's what it's all about.
If you're a journalist thinking of starting out in podcasting, what do you need to think about in terms of your presenting style?
If they're news journalists, they are used to, you know, you're structuring a news story. It's when you turn it into conversation where it sort of sometimes can fall over. And it's knowing what do you want out of that conversation. The greatest radio shows are the ones that have characters. And that's what people connect with. On a personal medium that is radio, that's what you link with.
Maybe by now you've got an idea that you want to turn into a podcast. So where do you begin?
My name's Colin Gray, and I am the director of the podcast host. I help people start up new podcasts. I tend to start with the strategy, and it's the word that everyone hates, but actually it makes such a difference to how successful your podcast will be long term. So that means actually thinking about a few different things, one of which is your audience to start with. So who is your target? Who is the person you're actually speaking to? So it's down to the old, you know, the old marketing principles of getting your avatar there. So you've got this individual that you're speaking to. And beyond that, it goes to how you're going to format it. So once you know who you're speaking to, it's what type of format you want to follow. So that's whether it's a series, how long the podcast is going to be, how often you're going to release it. And then on from that, it's on to equipment. So that's when you start off with what type of things you're going to be recording on. So how you're going to actually produce this show. So they're the three things I tend to think of. But equipment always comes last, whereas most people, when they're first getting into podcasting, they tend to think of that first. They always jump straight into buying a microphone, a mixer, that type of thing. And then just start talking, just start recording things, and only think about who they're speaking to, what their message is, what the aims of their show actually is towards the end. So I think strategy, which is audience and aims, comes very, very much first. That's what I always talk to people about.
One of the things to consider is how regularly it should come out.
The general conventional wisdom is that the more regular you are, the better. Weekly is a good standard to aim for, because any more often than that tends to be pretty onerous. Any less often than that tends to be a little bit, you know, you're not quite keeping up the audience figures. But I know plenty of podcasts that release only every 2 weeks, every month. People underestimate what it takes to create a decent sounding show, and also all the things that go with it as well. So say you take half an hour to record a show, then you've got another maybe half an hour to process it, to do a bit of editing, cut out mistakes, that type of stuff, put your music on if you choose to do that. And then the bit that people always forget actually is the show notes. So actually posting it onto the web, actually getting it online and broadcasting. So that is the bit that always takes me a while and always annoys me having to put together that page. So there's definitely a good bit of time goes into it. But then again, I actually think that what I encourage new podcasters to do is actually just start off really, really simple. Make yourself a name for the first 10 episodes to record with nothing more complicated than a headset mic. Speak into that. Don't worry about music. Don't worry about any kind of fancy additions. Just be open, honest, transparent. Speak for 20 minutes, half an hour, for once a week, for 10 weeks, and see where that takes you. And only once you've completed those first 10 episodes, really simply, with very limited editing, do you see, firstly, who's listening to you? You get a bit of feedback from your audience. You see where it's going. You start to get more of an idea of what your podcast aim might be just through actually doing it. You get a bit better at it. You get a bit better at speaking, presenting, that type of stuff. And you also find out if you actually like it. So that's why I always tell people, don't overestimate what you should put into it. Just do it really simply at the start with, and it'll give you a really good start.
Colin also has some tips on technology.
It is hard to give a favourite on microphones, because different microphones suit different voices better. The microphone I use, for example, is MXL990. It's a really nice microphone, only about £80, so quite affordable. But a very simple one to start out with is actually only about £30-40, and that is the Samson Q2U. And you'll get that on Amazon for very little, and it's a really good mic, really easy to use, USB, and it's also got all the connections to make it more professional in the future too, like to plug into a mixer. In terms of recorders, I use a Zoom H4n, but the Zoom H2n is half the price of the H4n and has most of the features you need, and it's a really good quality recorder, so it's a really nice one to jump into as well.
Getting on iTunes is important if you want to build up an audience.
It's certainly not the only one out there, but it accounts for about 90% of the traffic on most podcasts. It's just such a big search engine. It's just the most well-known. The other ones are climbing up, so you've got Stitcher, which is a good platform. They're definitely growing. You've got a few different Android platforms as well, which just apps like BeyondPod, for example, you can listen to podcasts through, but people still tend to find them quite often through iTunes. I suppose the most common ways people make money out of podcasts are, there's a few different ways. So probably the most common is using it as a referral for a service. Other ways are advertising, sponsorship. So quite a few podcasts make money through that avenue. And it's definitely, it's not the easiest, because you need to get up to really high figures before you can justify that. But I mean, there's some very, very influential podcasts out there making a lot of money out of sponsorship.
Viv Oyolu produces a podcast interviewing female entrepreneurs, and she recently ran a podcasting workshop for The Guardian. She says the financial reward for making a podcast is usually indirect.
There are few people making money, but I think it's, podcasting is not for money making. I think that's the first thing I would say. Podcasting is for getting your presence out there. So you're learning, you want people to know you exist. You want people to know about what you do, your skills, your expertise, and all that. It's not for making money. Other things will come out of having a podcast. So you might meet people, or people would hear the content that you deliver and say they want to do business with you. And I think that's one, when people say, how do you monetize your podcast? You don't, there are very few people. You have to have lots of downloads. So you're talking about 10,000 to 15,000 downloads before people would want to sponsor your show. But it's very difficult to make money. And I think anybody who's going into podcasting thinking they would make money on the onset, they have a long journey. And some people are doing it because they're not out to make any money from it. They have a message, they're passionate about something, and they want to have their voice heard.
Viv also agrees that you need to set out your objectives from the beginning.
The first thing I would say for anyone who's thinking of starting a podcast is to really understand why you're setting up the podcast, because that sort of lays the foundation of why you want to do this podcast and then who you're going to serve. So as much as we want to have our voice on, you know, to be broadcast in independent broadcasters, I think there's still a due diligence that we should do, which is who is going to listen to it? Why are we setting it up? But if you don't do that, then I think what happens is you get halfway through your podcast, so you'd have done maybe 10, 15 episodes, and you're wondering, oh, okay, so what next? What else do I cover now? What would my listeners want to know? But if you hadn't done the initial process of really understanding what it is, then there'll be different things that come up. Because the news cycle is always moving in every sector. So it's not hard to find content, and it's not hard to find people. But once you understand what your listeners want, then it becomes a lot easier to do that.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.